endued with power. And we've been going kind of through that. Don Lynch was here, Dr. Don, ministering about the power of the Holy Spirit. He was here in the fall, ministering on the power of the cross, and then this time, ministering on the power of the Holy Spirit. So everything is kind of going along with that theme. So it's been good. How many of you feel like you've been able to take something away from this, chew on it, apply it in your life, about attributes and features of the Holy Spirit? Amen? Janu had a great message a couple weeks ago as well on the Holy Spirit back in January. And we're just going to continue that. I'm going to speak a little bit about the Holy Spirit this morning and just kind of cover some things that are really strong in my heart about the Holy Spirit. And so I'll go into that a little bit this morning. But let's pray and first. And I just want to surrender my words to the Lord and allow him to just continue to move mightily this morning. Father, we thank you for the work that you've done and that you're doing right now, even as we've taken up offering and continue to hear your word through me, Lord. I pray, Father, I surrender right now. May your words go forth. May I be but a vessel. And we pray for your word to be strong in our hearts, to empower us to be kingdom people this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. We want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I don't really have too much this morning. I probably won't be very long, but there are some really important things that I want to highlight about the beginning of time and how God, we know that God existed before creation as the triune God. We know that because he said, let us make man in our image, right? He is triune. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He didn't only exist as the Trinity. When he existed before time as the Trinity, there's actually so much that we can pull from that. And I want to talk about just one feature of that. And that's that before the foundations of the earth, God existed in community. He existed in relationship within the Trinity. Does that make sense to everyone? Just nod your head or yell at me. That's fine. So being relational and existing in relationship is God's ultimate core value. We know that very well here. We talk about how God is relational. Apostle Clay has written books on relational authority. He talks about activating the prophetic and how it's healthy to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Is everyone tracking with me? So God is relational. It's his ultimate core value. And before the foundations of the earth, like I said, God existed in relationship with the Trinity. When God created Adam, relationship was formed into his DNA, into who he was. For he made Adam in his own image. And in God's image is relationship. All right? And so in the beginning, Genesis 1, man is created. And all of creation, all of the universe. But the first thing that, you know, we read in Genesis 1, God did this and said it was good, right? God did this. God, you know, spoke this into existence. He said it was good. The first thing that God said was not good in the garden was that man should be alone. He said it wasn't good. He said, it is not good that man should be alone. Are you tracking with me? And so God created woman out of man for relationship. So the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existing in relationship with one another, create man out of relationship for relationship. He created us out of relationship for relationship. Everything always ties back to relationship. And we have a pretty good understanding of God wants to have a relationship with us, or Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. Do you want to have a relationship with Jesus? But what we don't talk about a lot is how God the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you. So God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are each one person of the Trinity. A person is emotion, will, and intellect. They're each three persons, and they each have their own emotion, will, and intellect, right? And so it's simple for us to think God the Father is a person, and we can interact with him. God the Son, Jesus, is a person, and we can interact with him. But a lot of times, we think of the Holy Spirit as an it, or a force. And actually, Star Wars has done the body of Christ a great disservice, because we think of, oh, that's kind of a cool correlation, like the force, you know, you can move things, or like it's within everything. And it actually has done us a disservice, because we think of, oh, the Holy Spirit is like the force. And I've seen so many like people, you know, make, you know, obviously not, you know, super foundational, you know, applications to it with the word, but we kind of get this idea that the Holy Spirit is like a force, or he's like a power, or he's like this thing. But it's not true. He is a person. He is a third person of the Trinity. He has a will and intellect and emotion, and the Holy Spirit wants to have a unique relationship with you, just like God the Father does, and just like God the Son, Jesus Christ, does. Does that make sense? So check it out. The Holy Spirit wants to have a unique relationship with you. And that's something that we don't really think about a lot of times. We, you know, most of the time we think about Jesus wants to have a relationship with us, or God does. So it's very important that we know that the Holy Spirit wants to have a unique relationship with us. Because God the Holy Spirit, we should not refer to the Holy Spirit as an it or an entity, but a person. Just like that old hymn says, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're good at praising the Father. We're good at praising the Son. But singing to the Holy Spirit is kind of weirds us out sometimes. But it's okay. It's okay. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Not it. Not this entity or this power. He, the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why I'm saying he. Because the Holy Spirit is not a man or a woman. Are you tracking with me? God is not specifically a man, and he's not specifically a woman, although he is referred to in the scriptures as a male noun, right? Well, the Hebraic doesn't have a neutral word for a person. And so in order for the Hebrews, in their language and in their writing, they referred to him as a he, because they wanted to attribute him his personhood. And it would be a disservice to refer to God as an it. Are you tracking with me? I want to show you something. I didn't think I was going to go here, but yeah, Sarah, thank you so much. You're amazing. Isn't Sarah awesome? So I've got some Hebrew up here. Everyone want to learn some Hebrew? So this is something that really gripped me last year. I was in Atlanta in a conference with Harold Eberly was there, and I learned this very interesting, profound Hebraic study here, and I want to share it with you guys, because God he's not a man that he would lie, but we call him a he because we want to attribute his personhood to him. We don't call him a she, though, but he is not a woman, but he's also not a man. So watch this, track with me, because I'm also talking about the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the word for man in the Hebrew, this is language. So this is their written language. This is how they communicated. So, but the word for man is Shin, Yod, and Aleph. Those three letters, those three characters make up the word man, Ish. And then woman is Ish-ah. And it's made up of the characters He, Shin, and Aleph. Okay, you see the similarities? The word for God, Yahweh, the triune God, is He and Yod. Does that make sense? You guys tracking with me? You see that in the word man, Shin, Yod, and Aleph are in there. And then in the word woman, He, Shin, and Aleph are in there. So part of God is in man, and part of God is in woman. I'm talking about the language. Part of how they describe God, Yahweh, is they put part of him in man and part of him in woman. Because in order to get the full picture of who God is, you have to have man and woman. When he created man in the garden, the first thing that he said was not good out of all of his creation is that it is not good that man should be alone. And so he created woman, and in creating woman and man for relationship with one another, it's the perfect display of who God is. Does that make sense? And so if you take Yod out of man and He out of woman, you're left with Shin and Aleph. Does that make sense? The word for Shin and Aleph together is the Hebrew word for fire. You take God out of man and woman, you're playing with fire. Come on, I'm preaching now. And this has a lot to say about our society today and how, and our all this gender neutrality and transgender this and homosexuality that, and how we want to play the God card. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And this is something that really, really hit me really hard last year, is seeing this and seeing how the perfect picture of who God is in the earth, as the Hebrews described him, as the Hebraic language described him, as the Hebrew worldview and this Hebraic biblical worldview, the way they saw God was perfectly man and perfectly woman, but not specifically one or the other. But they called him a he because they had to attribute his personhood to him and not do without his personhood. And so this goes for the Holy Spirit as well. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he wants to have a unique relationship with you. Can you say amen? So I want to share something out of a book that I've read several times over. It pretty much chronicles very briefly the life of many. It's a pretty small book, and it chronicles in brief the life of about 20 men and women of God in the last 200 years. And I did this on a Wednesday night, maybe a year and a half or so ago, and I read a couple of excerpts from it. And I want to show you a couple of great men and women of faith and their interaction with the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? And then I want to ask you, Citygate, people of God, to be thinking about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when it started, or when it was at its greatest, or maybe you need to engage more and embrace more the person of God, the Holy Spirit. So one of the great men and women of faith in this book that I read about was Adoniram Judson Gordon, and he was a missionary to Bermuda. He was actually the first, one of the first people to bring the gospel there in the 1800s, early 1900s. And I want to read a little bit of his story as it touched me deeply. "Then you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, did you?" someone will ask. Well, we prefer not to use an expression which is not strictly biblical. The great promise, "Ye shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost," was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost once for all, as it seems to us. Then the Paraclete was given for the entire dispensation, and the whole church, present and future, was brought into the economy of the Spirit, as it is written. "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." So he's kind of talking about a perspective and a viewpoint that a lot of people have. But he says, "But for God to give one thing, for us to receive is quite another. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son," is the word of our Lord to Nicodemus. "But it is written also, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." In order to realize regeneration and sonship, it is absolutely essential for us to receive as for God to have given. Are you following? So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, as the comforter, advocate, helper, and teacher, and guide, was given to the church. The disciples, who before had been regenerated by the Spirit, as is commonly held, now received the Holy Ghost to qualify and empower them for service. It's another and higher experience than that which they had hitherto known, than what they had already known, which was salvation. It is the difference between the Holy Spirit for renewal and the Holy Spirit for ministry. Even Jesus, begotten by the Holy Ghost, and therefore called the Son of God, did not enter upon his public service until he had been anointed or sealed with the same Spirit through whom he had been begotten. Are you tracking with me? So of his immediate apostles, so of Paul, who had been converted on the way to Damascus, so of the others mentioned in Acts, and the Samaritan Christians and the Ephesian disciples, and not a few thoughtful students of Scripture maintain that the same order still holds good, that there is such a thing as receiving the Holy Ghost in order to qualify for service. It is not denied that many may have this blessing in an immediate connection with their conversion, from which it need not necessarily be separated. Only let it be marked, that is, the giving of the Spirit by the Father is plainly spoken of. So distinctly is the receiving of the Spirit on the part of the disciples constantly named in Scripture. So he's talking about, we receive the Holy Spirit. Janu taught on this. We receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, right? But there's a difference between being baptized in the Holy Spirit or having an increase of the Holy Spirit in your life that's separate from conversion. But oftentimes they might happen together, or sometimes they might happen together. And so I want to continue just one more paragraph of Adoniram Judson speaking here. He says, "God forbid that we should lay claim to any higher attainment than the humblest. We are simply trying to answer, as best we may from Scripture, the question asked above about baptism of the Holy Ghost. On the whole, and after prolonged study of Scripture, we cannot resist this conviction. As Christ, the second person of the Godhead, came to earth to make atonement for sin and to give eternal life, and as sinners must receive him by faith in order to have forgiveness and sonship, so the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, came to the earth to communicate the power from on high and we must continue as believers in like manner receive him by faith in order to be qualified for service. Both gifts have been bestowed, but it is now what we have, but it is not what we have, but what we know that we have by a conscious appropriation of faith, which determines our spiritual wealth. Why then should we be satisfied with the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1, when the Lord would grant us also according to the riches of his glory be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, Ephesians 3. I'm going to say that again. Why then should we be satisfied with the forgiveness of sins according to his riches in grace, Ephesians 1, when the Lord would grant us also according to the riches of his glory be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, Ephesians 3. There's a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit upon salvation and the Holy Spirit being poured out or the Holy Spirit increasing in your life. Does that make sense? I want to read one more excerpt from someone who many of you know, of Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, as many of you know him by. Powerful, powerful man of God. The reason I'm reading these excerpts is because I'm a young preacher and I don't really have that many stories, or I don't, you know, why try to like conjure up and come up with a bunch of stuff when people already said it better myself, okay? So I'm just using my resources as a good communicator here, all right? I want to read this and probably wrap this up here a little bit. But this is D.L. Moody speaking. And what's interesting to me in reading through this book and a lot of these men and women and their experiences with the Holy Spirit, powerful experiences, because they kind of talk about their experience and then they talk about their life afterwards and how it was so much more effective and so much more fruitful in their ministry. And, you know, God wants that for you. The Holy Spirit wants to have a unique relationship with you, and he wants to encounter you in such an intimate way so that your life can be more efficient and fruitful and powerful. Amen? So listen to this from D.L. Moody, who is a pretty conservative man of faith, or, you know, someone that we might know is a little bit more on the conservative side, but this is what he chronicles. Let me see where I need to start. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Sorry, I had to kind of find my place here. Now I want this thing clearly understood. We believe firmly that if any man has been cleansed by the blood, redeemed by the blood, and been sealed by the Holy Ghost dwells within him. Amen? And a thought I want to call to your attention is this: that God has a good many children who have just barely got life, but no power for service. You may say safely, I think, without exaggeration, that 19 out of 20 of professed Christians are of no earthly account so far as building up Christ's kingdom. But on the contrary, they are standing right in the way. And the reason is because they have just got life and settled down and have not sought for power. The Holy Ghost coming upon them with power is distinct and separate from conversion. If the scripture doesn't teach it, I am ready to correct it. Let us look and see what God says. And if you will look in the third chapter of Luke, you will see that all these 30 years that Christ had been in Nazareth, he had been a son, but now the Holy Ghost comes upon him for service. And he goes back to Nazareth and finds a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised." And for 3 years, we find him preaching the kingdom of God, casting out devils and raising the dead. While for 30 years that he was in Nazareth, we hear nothing of him. He was a son all the while. But now he is anointed for service. And if the Son of God has got to be anointed, do not his disciples need it? And shall we not seek it? And shall we barely rest with conversion? In the 7th chapter of John, 38 and 39, Jesus says that he says, "He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath laid out, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost has not yet been given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now do you tell me that Peter and John and James and the rest of those had not been converted at that time? Had they not been there 3 years with the Son of God and had not been born of the Spirit? Had not Nicodemus been born of the Spirit? And had not men been converted before them? Yes, but they were saints without power and must tarry in Jerusalem until endued with power from on high. I believe we should accomplish more in 1 week than we should in years if we had only this fresh baptism. It seems to me that we have got three classes of Christians. The first class in the 3rd chapter of John were those who had gone to Calvary and there got life. They believed on the Son and were saved, and there they rested satisfied. They did not seek anything higher. Then, on the 4th chapter of John, we come to the better class of Christians. There, it was a well of living water bubbling up. There are few of these, but they are not a hundredth part of the first class. But the best class is the 7th chapter of John. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That is the kind of Christian that we ought to be. A great many think that because they have been filled once, they are going to be full for all of time thereafter. But, oh, my friend, we are leaky vessels and have to be kept right under the fountain all the time in order to be kept full. I love that. A man that lives close to God will be the humblest of men. I heard a man say once that God always chooses the vessel that is close at hand. Let us keep near him. Amen. There's a great many people, as D.L. Moody said, that have just barely got life. They've got salvation, and they're sealed, and they rest on that satisfied. But he says it's a separate thing to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit, or to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in order to have power for service. And so you've got a great many people that live with salvation, and they're okay with that, and they're satisfied with that. But I know that's not us here at Citygate. I know that we love the Holy Spirit, right? But I'm also here to tell you that the Holy Spirit wants to have a unique relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you that's separate from your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with God. It's not that one is better than the other, but each one of them are a person of the Trinity. God is the first person, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Are you tracking with me? And the Holy Spirit, my friends, wants to have a unique relationship with you that's intimate. And a lot of it has to do with being able to understand and recognize his voice. And a lot of it has to do with being able to sit with him and hear what he's saying in your life, and hear where he's leading you, and discern where he's taking you. And I know that we understand that concept, but this idea of God existing in relationship before the foundations of the earth is so strong on my heart and has been for a long time. I bug the mess out of Natalie about it all the time. Everything's about relationship. Everything that God is, everything that we should be about relationship. Relationships with other people, discipleship, building people up, connecting with people, having people over to the house. We do stuff like that all the time because we're both passionate about relationship. And we're passionate about it because God is passionate about it. And he has put his passion within us. And I believe that. And I want that same thing for you. I want you to have that passion for the Holy Spirit, that special relationship with the Holy Spirit, because everything that God is stems out of relationship. Everything that he does stems out of relationship. From the dawn of creation to now stems out of relationship. So in the scriptures, we read about how Moses rescued he was the great deliverer and delivered the Israelites, right? Out of the hands of Egypt and out of slavery. But you know what? God could have done that, couldn't he? God could have just he had done a couple things and now the Israelites are free. But he used Moses. Why? Because he's relational and he wants to partner with people. So let me give you another example. Moses and the Israelites at the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army on their tail. God easily could have parted the Red Sea by himself, right? And just said, hey, Moses, check this out. And parted the Red Sea. And that's what we think he did, right? But listen closely to the scripture where he says, Moses, raise your hand. See, he partners with us because he's a relational God. He would rather partner with us and see the obedience through and see his work done in the earth than just do it himself because he's relational. Does that make sense? So you see this all throughout scriptures. You know, in the battle where Moses has to raise up his staff, you know, and then Aaron, is that Joshua? Am I thinking of the wrong battle here? Anyway, they have to raise up his hand, and the Israelites lose when his hands are down, and then when his hands are up, the Israelites are winning. You see, why would God function like that? Wouldn't God just say, you win, you don't win, and like help them win or help them not win? But he uses people. He wants to partner with people. He doesn't just want to use people. He doesn't just want to do things. He wants to partner with us because he's relational. Does that make sense? So I want to pray over us. And I want to just have a time where we can reflect on this. And I want you to think about the Holy Spirit and stepping into a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, a deeper communion with the Holy Spirit. You know, Natalie is my wife. We've been married 6 years now. And should I just be satisfied with where our relationship is at? Just kind of float along? No, I want to know her more. I want to have a deeper relationship with her all the time. It's the same with friendships. You know, you don't just like become a friend with someone like, I like this human. This human likes me. We get along. We kind of do the same things. Isn't that what friendship is? And then you just hang out and that's it. You just kind of coast along. No, you do stuff together. You learn from each other. You grow in relationship. And the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship that is growing and thriving and beautiful and going to the next level and doing things with him because he's a person, because he has will and intellect and emotion that are separate from the other three persons of the Trinity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let's just stand for a few minutes as we just reflect on this. I don't have much else. You want to play a little? But I just want to encourage you. I just want to speak over you. Just want to pray over you that your relationship with the Holy Spirit would go to the next level because it can and because it should and because he built us for relationship. You know, he built us for relationship with him in the garden. But he even said that the relationship that he had with man, you know, he said it wasn't good. He said it's not good that man should be alone. He created us for relationship with one another. And He created our relationships with one another to be in relationship with Him. Some of the strongest relationships in your life are probably those relationships that you have with somebody, and you're both strong in the Lord, and you're both strong in the Lord together, and you can both pray together and seek His face together and worship together. Those are going to be the strongest relationships, because that's what God's purpose was in the garden, was to create a companion for man and for them to have fellowship in the garden. It's the most beautiful picture in Eden, back in Genesis. And God, we want to have that relationship with You, a deeper relationship with You. Holy Spirit, we want to have a deeper, more intimate, more beautiful, more growing, more vibrant relationship with You. So let's just take a few moments and just engage God, the Holy Spirit, and just speak to Him. Just talk to Him. It's okay. Just like you would talk to God, or you might have a conversation with Jesus. Jesus, I love You. Thank You for what You did. Holy Spirit, thank You. I love You. I praise You, Holy Spirit. I want to have a deeper relationship with You, Holy Spirit. And remember that the Holy Spirit is not just, it's not a force. It's not some entity out there. It's not just some it. But He's a person. So engage Him like a person. Go ahead. We're just going to take just a few moments right now and just interact with the Holy Spirit. Whatever that might look like, whatever it might sound like, just pray to the Holy Spirit. Most of our prayers traditionally are "Dear God." You know, that's nice because it covers the triune God. But let's be more specific and more intimate with our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Instead of a "Dear Jesus," maybe a "Dear Holy Spirit." My sweet friend. Sing, Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome. Come on, sing to Him. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence. Come on, sing to the Spirit. Sing to Him. Sing, Holy Spirit, You are welcome. Oh, we sing to You, Holy Ghost. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach us to abide in You. Teach us to go deeper in you. Teach us and show us and reveal to us what that looks like. I want to be close to you like a friend. I want to know you more like I know a friend. I want to know you more like I know a friend. I want to know you more. Holy Spirit, you are the helper. You know, that's one of the ways that we describe him, the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. So Holy Spirit, help us cultivate a deeper relationship with you. Help us to cultivate a more intimate relationship with you, to where we walk with you every day, where we commune with you every day. Let it be like that.
Ago, when you were talking about Star Wars, I just got to thinking about the charismatic, spirit-filled church has taken on a mentality of using Holy Spirit like a laser gun. You talk about power. We need power of Holy Spirit, but I don't know if it's our Star Wars culture. We take Holy Spirit and we use it to change somebody else. You know, zap them with the Holy Spirit. I got power. I'm going to zap you to change you. But that's not what it's about. It's power to change me. To change me so that I will be more like him. It's not for self-promotion at all. And we've got so much of that in our body. And you know, that need for self-promotion is just a broken place. Holy Spirit, the fullness of Holy Spirit, has the ability to fulfill every area, to fulfill every broken area. That's what he is for, to transform us to be fully satisfied. There's nothing greater than having Holy Spirit, the intimate relationship that gives me peace. And the older I get, the more peace I want in my life. I don't want drama of daily life. Drama, 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 drama. That just drives me crazy. And I don't like to be around people that are just crazy. I like peace that comes from the power of Holy Spirit in my life to give me peace, the power to have peace.
So just lift your hands in this place. I'm reminded of how there's a difference between God releasing something to you and you receiving it. I was evangelizing to a guy a couple months ago in Louisville, Kentucky, where my sister lives. I was up there for a quick trip, and I was talking to this guy, and I was evangelizing to him, and I asked if he would pray to receive Christ, and he just wasn't ready. He said he wasn't ready. And it was so disheartening, because I was like, man, God, come on, don't you want to save this guy? But he just wasn't ready. He said, I don't think I can do that right now. And I looked at him, I told him, I said, I want to tell you something. if I give you a gift and you don't receive it, am I still giving you a gift? And he was like, I don't know what you mean. And I'm like, well, I just bought you a sandwich and you received it. And he's like, yeah, I definitely received it. It was good. Thank you. And then I told him, if I bought you a sandwich and you didn't receive it and I still gave it to you, but you left it, did I still give you a gift? And he said, well, sure you did. I just didn't take it. And I said, that's like God in your life. He's always extending his love to you. And he's never not extending his love to you. And just because you don't receive it right now doesn't mean he's not extending it to you all the time. I said, you can walk out of this place today and still receive his love and still receive his salvation. Or you can do it a year from now or 10 years from now. But I said, brother, God is always extending his love to you. So I want you to know you can always receive it. Just because you're not receiving it right now doesn't mean that he's pulling away his gift from you, because he loves you. And I'm just reminded of that now, because I believe that God is releasing an increase of relationship for you, of his presence in your life, the Holy Spirit. But we also have to be receptive to it, right? We also have to say, yes, I receive. And so let's receive just with our hands up or with our hands to our side, just as a prophetic gesture, as a prophetic way of saying, Lord, I receive the increase. I say yes to more of this relationship in my life. And I say yes to more intimacy with you, to walking with you on a deeper level. I just say yes. You know, you can do it if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can do it if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can just do it right now. It's okay. You can just choose to receive his increase in your life. And that's okay. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for an increased relationship with you. We thank you for a deeper relationship with you, God, the Holy Spirit. And teach us what that looks like on a daily basis as we go. And all God's people said, amen. Seal it with an amen. Seal it with an amen. So I want to encourage you to go today filled with hope and filled with faith and filled with power for service, because we need the Holy Spirit in our life for service. But the Holy Spirit longs for a unique, intimate relationship with you. Amen. So I want to bless you guys as you go today, and just go with an increased relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen.